So here we are on the cusp of another year, looking to 2015. I'm glad I hardly ever write checks anymore. I can easily go the rest of my life without having to scribble that out, initial it, change it again. I don't know about you, but I found that my most frequent problem with the year change wasn't leaving the same year for the first few weeks. It was going back a year, which I thought was unique to me, but I talked to several other people over the years who have discovered the same thing, that in 2015, instead of writing 2014 on checks, they're writing 2013, because they know something's different, but they go backwards instead of forwards. I'm not quite sure what that says about us as people, hopefully not a whole lot. But it's a new year for us. It's a new opportunity. The change of the calendar is about as arbitrary as anything could possibly be. I occasionally wonder what was going through anyone's mind when they thought a good idea for a new year was plunking it in the middle of winter, of all things, where the difference between 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago and today and the next several weeks is virtually nothing. But there's still something about that turn of the calendar. There's something about going into a new year, arbitrary as it might be. There's a sense of energy, there's a sense of newness. And for many of us, it's an opportunity for us to at least review a little bit what happened before or what we've already known and try to apply that to what's coming next. The reading that Bill did for us this morning out of Ephesians, which, as I mention every time this comes up, is a single sentence in Greek. One of the most extraordinary bits of writing you're ever going to come across, and a translator's challenge, to say the very least. But that reading comes from the second Sunday and after Christmas Day set of lectionary readings. And the reason why I stuck with that is it pulls together the two Sundays in a way talking about inheritance. And that's the sermon title. What's our inheritance? Inheritance is one of those tricky things. All of us have inherited things. They come from a couple of different places. And I'm not talking so much about what you get in a will at this point. That's something altogether different. We sometimes think that that's what an inheritance is. It's what we get when somebody dies and they leave us something. And a perfectly appropriate use of the word inheritance. But our inheritance begins long before that. Our inheritance begins the moment we're conceived, in fact, because part of our inheritance is the genetic makeup of who we are. For example, anyone who's born into my side of the family, for better or worse, has a very good chance of getting what is sometimes referred to as the Holzlander nose. Nothing wrong with a nose of this size. I choose not to believe that its size is why it got broken so many times when I was younger. I think that had more to do with me and where I put it than anything else. But we get a genetic inheritance from our parents and our grandparents. There's something that goes into that. And we get more than that. As the father of twins, for anyone who likes to read, likes to learn new things, having twins come into your life, whether they're your own or whether they are just someone close to you, it provides endless opportunities to learn new things. And twins are absolutely fascinating for a wide number of research scientists, psychologists and geneticists and all these other sorts of things. And what they frequently look for and find to a surprising amount is identical twins who are genetically identical who have been separated at birth for whatever reason. And so they then try and find them later and compare and see where they're different, where they're the same. And so I did a lot of reading on twins and came across this frequently when I was first moving into being a father and having these two children at the same time. And one of the most fascinating studies referenced a pair of twins who had been separated at birth for whatever reason, I can't even remember why. And they found them when they were in their 30s and looked at them, and no big surprise, they looked the same. But they'd chosen similar haircuts. They had chosen similar careers. They're both married. to women named Jean. They had the same number of children. They had the same kind of pet. They lived in houses that had essentially the same floor plan. And you look at that and you think, well, then obviously genetics is what makes things happen. The nurture versus nature question is answered. How could these people move in all these directions if there wasn't some kind of a genetic predilection to becoming, ending up similarly employed in the computer industry as they did? Except when you look at other twins, identical twins separated at birth, they look the same, but they have completely different political outlooks. They have made completely different lifestyle choices. They are, in fact, completely different. So it seems. So maybe nurture is what makes a difference. But then again, maybe this is another opportunity for us to resist the temptation to turn everything into an either-or question and realize that it's a both-and question. And that the inheritance we get is both the genetic inheritance we have, and it's also how we're raised. And to remember that our inheritance begins the moment we do. Well, the inheritance that Paul is talking about today obviously has no genetic impact at all. We are not genetically related to God. But we have been adopted as children. And we receive the identical inheritance that the fully human Jesus did. When I was younger, I tended to look at what we got in this inheritance, this relationship that we got with Jesus, or we got through with God through Jesus, as an opportunity to escape hell, and that was about the beginning and the end of it. That was the outcome. That's why you became a Christian. And I'm not saying that I was taught that, but that's what I picked up, which may explain one of the reasons why I didn't find this particularly attractive for a long time. But there's so much more to it than that. That's like looking at your inheritance from your parents and saying the only thing that counts is when they finally die and I get their stuff. Although, why you'd want your parents' stuff, it's all old. No, our inheritance begins from the moment we do, and our inheritance from God began the moment we moved into a relationship with Him. And in the same way that that relationship shapes who we are, it does it for each of us in our own way. We have the same relationship with God that the fully human Jesus did. Let's not forget that. The incarnation is another opportunity for us to fall into the false dichotomy of an either or. And spending so much time looking at Jesus as fully divine that we forget he was human, or vice versa. But let's not forget, and let's think a little bit today about what it meant that Jesus was fully human, that he was just like us. And we are just like he was. We have the same relationship with God that Jesus did. We sometimes think that the fully divine part of Jesus sort of squeezed over into the fully human part, and he had a relationship with God that's fundamentally beyond us, and nothing could be further from the truth. The relationship that the fully human Jesus had with God is the same one that we do. It's not identical, because that relationship is unique, in the same way that identical twins have a unique relationship with their parents. It's still the same relationship because it's the same parents. We have the same relationship with God that Jesus did because it's the same God, and we are just as human as Jesus was, and he just as human as us. And that's the inheritance, that we get to be like Jesus in how we know God. Jesus may have known God better than we do. And because of that, we sometimes think that that's a fundamental difference. But I've had the great good fortune, as I'm sure you have, to have run across people who have a relationship with God that is just amazing. I don't know how they do it. It's not just an age thing. One of the most mature relationships with God I've ever seen was with, well, when I met her, she was a 9-year-old girl. She just had this connection with God that was extraordinary and still does. That doesn't mean that hers was fundamentally different than mine any more than Jesus was fundamentally different than mine. We all have that same relationship. Paul makes that perfectly clear. He says that having believed, you were marked in God with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the same Holy Spirit that we are. And there's all kinds of things that go on in that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And part of it is it makes us connected with God in a new way. And it comes the moment we move into that relationship with God through Jesus. From that moment on, we get the same inheritance that Jesus did. The same inheritance is open to us all. It manifests its way in itself in different ways when we're alive. We have different gifts. We've spoken often of that. And we won't know it fully until we see Jesus face to face. Audrey now knows exactly what her inheritance is, that she is finally with the God she loves. Does that mean that she didn't receive her inheritance before that? Absolutely not. She had the opportunity to know God and to make Him known in her own unique and wonderful way, which she did. As do we. Our inheritance is to be a child of God every bit as much as Jesus was. Jesus was different than us, to be sure. But if we lose sight of the mystery of the incarnation that says that Jesus was fully human, we'll always think our inheritance is second best. And it's not. Nowhere in Scripture will you see that Jesus was anything other than the first to see this inheritance. Not the only, not the fundamentally different, not better. He was first. We've all been granted this inheritance. And as we move into this new year with new things, from a different way of worshiping together, to just the newness that comes with children and grandchildren growing and changing and us discovering new things about ourselves. Let's go into this year fully convinced that our inheritance is the same as Jesus received. That God with us is not inferior in any way to when God was with Jesus. 2015, I don't know what it holds. Certainly not in detail. I can tell you some things. There are going to be parts of 2015 that are so wonderful we can barely believe it. And there are parts of 2015 that we're going to wonder if we'll even survive. Because it's a year like every other year. And everything in between. But let's move into this year fully convinced. Fully convinced of the inheritance that we have received, promised through Scripture. The Holy Spirit given as a deposit on that inheritance to us that one day will be fully realized. But is everything we need now. 2015 can be the best year yet. It's a wonderful thing about a new year. It can be the best year we've ever had. And one of the things that can help that, one of the things that can encourage us to move into that is remembering who we are. Children of God. With all the rights, with all the privileges that come with it. Beginning with the same inheritance that Jesus received the moment He was. Amen.